Thank you. Greetings, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. All those who are with us online and all those who are with us here tonight, just want to say thank you for being here. And we should pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing now, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to change. Oh, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would show us, oh, Lord God, the gravity of where we stand today, so that, Lord, we could be made ready as that day soon approaches, your second coming, oh, Lord God, your coming again. Help us to be ready, Lord God. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to search our hearts, to take a look at ourselves in the mirror, Lord God, so that we would be made ready. Oh, Lord God, speak to us, oh, Lord, I pray. Let the devil have nowhere to operate here tonight, Lord. Help us to reach out to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, Lord. Praise God. I think we have an announcement for April. I'm sorry. May 5th. Today's the 17th, and in about 3 weeks, I believe, then we'll be doing, if all goes well, and we have two people that are looking to come to get baptized here on May 5th, and I'm just asking all those who would be able to be here that you could be here with us that day. Pray that the Lord would work it all out, and so why don't we just go ahead and go right on into praise and worship now. There's a song that I like, 283, that's in the hymn book, Sweet By and By. If we could go there and sing that, 283 in the hymn book, Sweet By and By. And let's just give our hearts to the Lord. That beautiful shore. to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Thank you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Praise
Thank
God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you,
Thank
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Well, I know that I'm learning how to live like a Christian.
Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Amen. How about you? Going through a lot of things. The Lord's teaching me how to change my heart, how to do a lot of things differently. And so I have a lot of apologies to make to a lot of people. But by the grace of God, He'll help me. I hope that you all will receive my apologies for being sometimes hard-hearted, stubborn, willful. And I've got a long way to go. And that's why we need the Lord to continue to work with us, to show us the way. I hope that you all will receive what I have to say here tonight. So I hope that we can now go to the chorus book, and there's a song there called number 88 called "Fill My Cup, Lord." We need the Lord's answers to all our issues and problems in life. Without the Lord in it, we do things in vain. So let's go there.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Oh Lord,
praise
all day today thinking, wondering, praying, searching, seeking the Lord what to do for Sunday. And I still don't know. I still don't know. But I know the Lord, one thing the Lord's been doing is showing me that I need to change. There's so many things in my own life that I need to change. All day long. And it's pretty sobering to look at myself in that way. But I am. And no matter how it hurts, I'm going to do all I can to come clean with the Lord and allow Him to make the changes that He needs to make in my life, that I need to make in my own life, to put away my stubbornness, to put away those things that I feel have hindered my walk in many ways. Now, this is not about me tonight, but I just feel like I need to confess and get right with God in areas. So I hope that you are able to receive that. And then that you would forgive me. Amen. And with that, I'm hoping that we can go to a song called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We could just go there tonight and sing that with all our heart.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after Thy will, while I am away. And still have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, the clay. Mold me and shape me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and
help us. God, help every one of us. I'm not real talkative tonight, so please forgive me. All I can do is praise God and receive correction. So, I think that we could maybe sing one more song tonight, and then I need to take a seat. Let's just sing Have Faith in God. Number 39 in the chorus, if anyone knows it, or if you just follow along however you wish to do it.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, tonight now, speak to every one of us, oh Lord God. I don't know how or what's going to come forth, Lord God, from anything Shirley might have to say tonight, but Lord, I just pray that you would help all of us, Lord God, to see, hear, and know our own frailty, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would break our hearts. Oh, Lord, so that we could truly repent and get right with you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Shirley.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for the service here tonight. I'm glad we can come here again and open up God's Word. So thankful for everybody that's also online. I'm hoping that Sam will be able to record the whole service, as happened a couple weeks ago. And I'm just hoping that we can be a blessing. I know it's a world out there that you can hardly find truth at all. You can hardly find Christians. You can hardly find anybody who knows the Lord in reality. But God has given us His Word, and He put His Spirit within us. And we have a great privilege here. We have a great privilege that we can open up God's Word here tonight, that we can study, that we can let Him look at our hearts and examine us and just see how we're doing in the spiritual world, in His sight. because really that's all that's really going to matter when we stand before the Lord, is how He regards us, how He looks at us. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray as we begin. I hope everybody will join me here. We need the Lord here. Sure can't do this without Him. Let's go before Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great privilege and honor that You've given us, Lord. Oh, God, this opportunity to look at Your Word, Lord, to open it up and, oh, God, to share the things that You've put upon our hearts. God, I just pray, oh, God, that You'd be here to talk to us, Lord, to walk up and down these aisles, God, to, oh, God, put Your Word, therefore, right before us, God. Oh, God, that we can see it clearly, that our eyes, oh, God, will be able to recognize the good things of God, our minds to perceive it, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for it's a stumbling stone for so many. Oh, God, it's a gin and a snare to so many, God. So many stumble at Your Word, Lord Jesus. So many don't see it for what it is. Oh, God, I pray that You'd help us, Lord. I pray that You'd open it up to us, God, that we can see clearly, Lord, that we can examine ourselves. Oh, Lord, that we can go forward. Oh, God, that we can walk in the light, even as You are in the light, Lord Jesus, and have that fellowship one with another. Oh, God, I pray that You'd be here, Lord. Bind every unruly spirit. Oh, God, everything of the darkness, everything that would be sent to discourage and to hinder. God, we come to You in Jesus' name, oh, asking that You would tread down, oh, Lord, the will of the devil, Lord, and everything that he would devise, God. I pray that You would be here, Lord, in Jesus' name, oh, Lord, that Your will would be done in this message. Oh, God, that You'd give us hearts to receive, oh, Lord. And I pray for Your anointing and Your help. Oh, Lord, for surely without You I can do nothing. And I thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. I was making some soup today and turned on the timer, so I went and lose track of time, and I happened to go upstairs for a little bit, and the timer started ringing, and all at once I hear this little bird voice downstairs, and he's saying, "Ma, Ma." And so I said, "Yes, Pearl," and short for a professor, and he said, "Supper." And I think he detected that when that timer rings, it means I better get to that stove and check it out. So anyway, praise the Lord, that bird really can be right in sync at times, and boy, it's so beautiful, because one of his favorite phrases is "seek the Lord." He says that very often. Often one of the first things he says in the morning is "seek the Lord," and I hear it periodically throughout the day. And then things like "everything hath breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord," and then his little sigh, and you know, it just all these little things that come out of the bird's mouth. But I thank God for that. We can learn a lot from the creatures. And God gives us those kind of friends to guide us also in this life, and so we can learn from them also. Praise the Lord. God is good. He is so good. He is with us, and that is very precious. That is very precious. I'm going to be going to Genesis to begin here tonight, the Lord willing here, and what I plan to call this message is "God Heard the Voice of the Lad." God heard the voice of the lad. And if we could just begin here, the 12th chapter of Genesis, to begin here. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Our God is good.
Amen.
And here we're going to be speaking of Abram here for a while. Of course, he became Abraham after a season, and here it is in this 12th chapter of Genesis. The Lord is talking to him, and I get so inspired by Abraham. He just is such a man of faith, and I see that. I see him as a man of obedience to the Lord, too, and I hope maybe some of this can come out a little bit. But here he is. He's already left Ur of Chaldea. And then he had gone unto Haran and dwelt there. His father was with them for a period of time, and Terah also. And or Terah actually was his father. But Lot was also with him at that point too. And God called him. He had already made one move, but now it was time for another move. And God was instructing him. And if we look at the first verses here in chapter 12, we'll find out what God told him. And here it is, that first verse. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And it tells us in verse 4, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And it tells us, Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. So here they are. I'm just going to stop right here for the moment. And here we hear God calling Abram, telling him to get out of that land, his country. And not only his country, but he was to remove himself from his kindred, his relationship, and from his father's house. And I'll tell you what, those aren't easy things. Just on the surface here, to just get up and leave everything that was dear. At that moment, pretty much everything other than those that he could take with him. But there was a promise that came with him. Promise that came with him, his leaving there. And that was that God was going to make a great nation of him. And he was going to bless him and make his name great. And he would be a blessing. In fact, all the families of the earth would be blessed through faithful Abram. And so, praise the Lord, Abram obeyed. He departed. He did exactly as the Lord admonished him to do, instructed him to do. And I noticed that about Abraham. He is so submissive to the voice of God. When he heard God's voice, he didn't question it. Not to my knowledge at all. But it just tells us in verse 4 that he departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And he was willing to do that. He was willing to get up, leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house, and willing to follow the Lord wherever the Lord would lead him, would guide him. I'm just going to go to Matthew here for a moment. Just turn there for a short time. The Lord does ask things of his people in his New Covenant church too. Of course, Jesus came to this world to usher in a new covenant. And let's go to the 10th chapter here. In Matthew for a minute. It's so interesting. If we look at, let's look at verse 32 to begin here. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then he said something that surprises people, I think. It says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And then he explains in verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And it explains, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. How interesting. He was coming to establish a kingdom. He was coming to establish peace like no man could ever perceive peace. But it wasn't the peace of this world. It was a peace that would actually set people at variance with those that they loved. And here it explains that a man's foes would even be those of their own household. And then verse 37, he said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the Lord's directions here. He's telling us the necessity to take one's cross. In other words, it's denying the things that you would do of your own accord, the things that would be your own pleasure. It's doing what the Lord wills. And he says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. If we're not willing to lay down our life for the Lord, then we're not worthy of him. If we're not willing to love him more than anybody else, then we're not worthy of him. And that's what he tells us. He tells us to take our cross and follow him. And I think that's what he was telling Abraham those many, many years ago, even before the time of the law, when Abraham was called out of that land of Chaldea and then out of Haran. He was telling him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And of course, it was a test. Not everybody would have been willing to do that. But there was a blessing with that if he would obey. And praise the Lord, Abraham obeyed. We know that he obeyed. Of course, God's people, as we are the New Covenant Church, we have to pick up that cross. And we have to despise this world. And of course, if we think of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and this is so familiar, I think we go here many, many times, very frequently, many services, we turn to 2 Corinthians, it seems the 6th chapter, but let's just read it again here, because I believe it fits. It says in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 6, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. Here he's talking to a people that he's called forth also, just as he called Abram out of his homeland to follow him, to be separate, to be an individual, to follow the ways of the Lord, to not do the ways of the heathen, because certainly Abram came out of a very pagan land. But God calls his New Testament church out of paganism too, out of idolatry, out of the world, out of the things that are contrary to his ways. And our temple, our body, when it's filled with the Holy Ghost, becomes a temple of God. And he comes to dwell within us, to instruct us, to lead us, to guide us. And that temple belonging to God then has no dealings with idolatry or anything else that is of the way of the world. And so God is calling us likewise, just as he called Abraham, to come out from among them and be ye separate. That means holy. We're distinct. We can't partake of the things of this world. We have to be listening to the Lord and know his voice and follow after him. And if it means separation from mother and dad, daughter or son, aunt or uncle, friends, other relationships, if that's what it means, then it'll be worth it. Because we belong to the Lord, and he calls us, he tells us to take up our cross and follow him, and we are not to touch the unclean thing. Anything that belongs to the devil does not belong to the child of God. And if we will do that, he said, I will receive you. I will receive you. Praise the Lord. And how beautiful to be received of the Lord. I mean, there's a day when we're going to stand before him. And if our heart is right before God, if he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of my Lord. Every hardship here on earth is going to be worth it. Everything we had to give up, everything we had to deny ourselves of is going to be worth it, because we're seeking for that heavenly place. We're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God, just as Abraham was. And I love it how Abraham, He obeyed. He departed as God had spoken unto him. It tells us here in the 12th chapter of Genesis, he obeyed the voice of God. But it was something because God gave him promises. And as he journeyed on and went with God, God would continue to explain to him the things that were to be given to him. And let's just look at the 15th chapter of Genesis here for a moment. And here's God. He's talking to Abram again. This time it's in a vision. And if we look at the first verse here in Genesis 15, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, Abram had a question. He said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And so he was a little confused. He did have a question to ask God because he couldn't understand how God was going to bless him and make his seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the sea, how that was going to happen. Because God had promised him that, he told him when he separated himself from Lot that he was to lift up his eyes and look. He was to look to the north, he was to look to the south, he was to look to the east, and he was to look to the west, and all the land that he could see was to be his. God had promised it to Abraham and for his seed, and his seed was going to be as the dust of the earth that no man could number. And then later he was told it was going to be as the stars of heaven. So he had these promises, but he had no child, he had no heir. So he was a little confused, and here he's asking, he was an older man even at this time, and his goods would have went to Eliezer, it seems to me, the steward of his house, if he would have died at the time. He didn't have anyone else to give the inheritance to. But God explained in verse 4 of this 15th chapter, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," speaking of Eliezer, "but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he said in verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." So here's God making this precious promise to Abraham. And verse 6 says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he," speaking of God, "counted it to him for righteousness." Oh, praise the Lord. Abram accepted what God had told him. He believed in the Lord. He stood on those promises, and he knew somehow, even though it was without understanding, he couldn't fathom how this all was going to happen. He knew that God meant what he said and that it would happen, that his seed would be as the stars that were of heaven, and it would come from his own bowels. Praise the Lord. So then we continue. And in the 16th chapter of Genesis, it so happens that it must have been a moment of doubt. And particularly maybe with Sarah first. And she couldn't understand. Obviously, Abraham had shared with her the promises of God. And she couldn't understand it either. And it just seems to me that her own mind got the best of her in this chapter, and she figured out, well, if I'm not able to have children, and she also was really old at this point too, well then, there must be another plan. There must be a plan B if plan A doesn't work here. And so she told Abram to go to Hagar, her maid, and asked him to take her as a wife and go on to her, and he did. And the thing is, she conceived and was with child, and then I think Sarah began to realize, oh no, what have I done now? And it tells us in the 16th chapter that as she realized what had happened, she began to despise all of this. It says in the fifth verse here of this chapter. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So obviously she was going to have this woman gone. But God had another plan. He had a plan for the child that Hagar was bearing. He had a plan for even that one. And here she is. Hagar is fleeing. Sarah has dealt harshly with her, and it tells us that she fled from her face. But in verse 7 it says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by a fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. But the Lord told her to go back. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hand. And there was a promise also made to Hagar. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Praise the Lord. And that name Ishmael means God hath heard. And here God described this child, this man, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lohai Ro. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And it says, Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he's 86 years old at this moment. But here it is. That has now happened. It's taken place. So now there's a son called Ishmael. And God had a plan for him too. But that was not the promised seed. Let's go on to the 21st chapter of Genesis. And finally, that promised child was born. And this 21st chapter describes all these happenings. It says in verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Let's just stop here a moment. And I just think this is so interesting. God waited a long time to bring about this son. At this point, Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah, I believe, is 90. And it's so amazing. God waited and waited. He tested their faith. I believe it all was a test of faith to see how much or how willing they really were to believe God, if they really would stand on his promise. And it says in verse 2, at the set time of which God had spoken to him, it all happened in God's timing. It might have seemed strange. It certainly was unusual. But it was God's timing. And I think it's so beautiful. It was when the fullness of the time was come that God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And speaking of Jesus Christ, that also happened. The promised Messiah came at the set time when that fullness of the time was come. Jesus was born. It happened. It's so amazing. It's always according to God's timing. according to God's will, His ways. And you know, there's another day that we all are awaiting. It speaks of that in the 17th chapter of Acts. There's a verse, just one verse, the 31st verse, and it talks about how God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. And this world is waiting for that appointment. It's an appointed day. God knows when it's going to be. And it's certainly going to come, because what God has declared will happen. And even though He waiteth long, He hath long patience for the precious fruit of the earth until He received the early and latter rain. He's waiting for that set time, that appointed day. But He will come. And this time He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. The first time He came as a Messiah, He came to bring forth a new covenant. He came to redeem us from our sins and to set us free from this world and from the law and the old covenant, to bring forth a new covenant of His blood. And it came at that appointed time, at that set time. And so will this second appointment come. That day when He will come, when He will return. He's coming to receive His church, but He's also coming to judge the world. And it's going to be a judgment like no other. It's going to be a day like no other. Our God is coming. It's going to be the day of the outpouring of His wrath. And all are going to stand before God, but He has appointed that day. It's going to be at the set time, God's timing, precisely, exactly, all known to God. So here it happened, here in Genesis, the 21st chapter here, at the set time of which God had spoken to him, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. It tells us the third verse, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Of course, we know it means laughter, because when Sarah was told, and she was in a tent, and the angel of the Lord came to declare that she was going to have a son, she laughed in her spirit. She couldn't help it. It just was amazing to her. It was beyond reason. It was unbelievable. But yet it was true, and it happened. And so the name of her child was Laughter, Isaac. And praise the Lord, it goes on to tell us in this chapter, and Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Oh my, it must have been quite an amazing thing to her when it all happened and all was fulfilled, and such joy with all of this. And she said in verse 7, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And then it goes on in time here. It says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So here was an event, and something else happened at this moment. It tells us in verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And this is very grievous to Sarah. She had trouble before, but now she's having trouble again, and this is like 13 years later. Hagar is 13 or 14 at this point, and it says in verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Actually, she was fulfilling scripture there. That was the will of God, actually, because Isaac was to be the heir and not Hagar. Isaac was to be the heir of the covenant. But these words were very hard for Abraham. It tells us in verse 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. He loved that Hagar, and he obviously loved Ishmael, and it was very hard for him to bear this. But God talked to Abraham. It says in verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, that was the will of God. That's how it was going to be. But there was a promise that came with it. In verse 13, it says, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And of course, we read of some of those promises before. It had already been given to Hagar. But here it is. And even though this is very hard for Abraham to do, it tells us in verse 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. So here she is, sent away, a bottle of water upon her shoulder and bread. And there she goes with Ishmael and wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba, it tells us. And as the time went on, it says, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. God had allowed her so much food, it seemed, and suddenly it was all gone. And it seems to me that Hagar at this moment felt pretty hopeless, extremely hopeless. The water was gone. The bread was gone. And she didn't know what was going to happen next, except she expected that they would die. So it tells us she cast the child under one of the shrubs. It tells us in verse 16, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Here it is, there's a cry, a desperation here, a cry that goes from her heart, and I believe it's a hopeless cry, because she sees nothing but death at that moment. She sees no hope. They're in the wilderness, and she thinks there's no water there. She has no hope for food at all, and it just seems that there's no answer positively at all. So there she is. She's weeping. She's lifting up her voice. She's weeping, and she doesn't want to see her child die. So she sets him away off. But there's something else that happened here. It tells us in verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. There was another voice that was crying. It was the voice of this young boy, 13 or 14 years old, and he's crying. But obviously, there was faith with this cry. And even though he had been mocking earlier at the time when he was cast out, I believe something has happened in his heart, because what happens here speaks of faith. Somehow he's crying out to God. God puts something within Ishmael, and he's crying out to God. And it tells us God heard the voice of the lad. God heard his cry. And therefore God called unto Hagar his mother out of heaven, and he said, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. God heard that cry. And more instructions were given. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Oh, God had promises there. But God had said to Hagar, what aileth thee? What's wrong with you? Why are you crying? Why are you so hopeless? What's the matter with you? I want to just turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter here, for just a moment. The scripture brought another passage to me. That passage here in Matthew 14 tells us of an event when Jesus was on earth, and it tells us in verse 23 of this 14th chapter, Jesus had sent away the multitudes, and he himself went up into a mountain. He was going to pray, apart to pray. And it tells us, and when the even was come, he was there alone. He was there praying. But the disciples were out on the sea, and something else was happening on the sea. It tells us in verse 24, "For the ship was out in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Of course, the disciples saw this thing on the sea. They thought it was an apparition, obviously. It says in verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." But it was Jesus. It wasn't a spirit. It was an apparition. Jesus said in verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.'" Oh my, that just sounded a little bit like what God was telling us there in Genesis. "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.'" There was faith that rose up in Peter's heart, and he recognized Jesus. He's walking on the water, and this burst of faith came to Peter, and he said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord allowed him to do it. Jesus said, "Come." And for a while, it went well. He was walking on the water, just like Jesus. But something happened, it tells us. It says, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Oh my, he had his eyes on Jesus for that moment. He had faith that arose in his heart, and he had that faith to walk on the water there for those moments. And he did. He did, because his faith was there. And Jesus saw that faith and bid him to come. But all at once, he looked down, and oh my, the wind was still boisterous. It was raging. It was wild. And he was afraid. It frightened him. And all at once, that faith wasn't there anymore. His eyes were no longer on Jesus, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And Jesus, so graciously, it tells us in verse 31, "Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Praise the Lord. But what a miracle. And for a moment, Peter had that kind of faith. But Jesus had to scold him a little bit. He said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And that is so human. That is so human. We all have moments like that, I think. I think we all have moments where faith rises in our heart, and we can, by faith, do the works of God and go forward and live in victory and see the healings that we need and see the deliverances that we need and go on to victory. But then those doubts cast a hold of us. And just like Peter, if you have fear in your heart, you don't have faith. And just like Peter, he began to sink, and our faith begins to sink. And we lose that opportune moment. And we don't show faith. Instead, we doubt. And, you know, I'm sure just as Jesus asked him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And just like God said to Hagar, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." We are so inclined to show doubts and fears, to give way to that. But praise the Lord if we can just have faith. And somehow I believe here in this passage of Genesis that there was a lad, a young boy, even though he was far from perfect, he had just been in trouble just, you know, hours before that, maybe a few days by then, but not that long before, he had been in trouble. He had been mocking something that he should not have done. But somehow God gave him faith to cry out there in the wilderness, cry out when it seemed like there was no water, the bread was gone, and he cried out to God, and the Lord heard his voice. It tells us in verse 17 there in Genesis 21, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And it goes on to say, arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. He's going to be all right. I'm going to use him. It's going to be all right, Hagar. And I love what happened next. Here she was. She was so despondent. She was so hopeless. She thought there was no way that she was going to survive there in the wilderness at all. But suddenly something happened. Verse 19 tells us, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. All at once she could see a well. I think that well had been there all along, but she couldn't see it. But all at once, God opened up her eyes so she could see the well. And suddenly there was hope. She could go to that well and fill up that bottle and drink. Oh, praise the Lord, and give to her son to drink. Oh, my God has those wells of living water for his children. Oh, my, we don't have to walk alone here in the wilderness. The Lord walks with us, and he gives us living water. He gives us water that we drink of, water that if we drink of that water, we'll never thirst. It's living water. It's wells springing up within us of everlasting life, and God has offered to that. We're his children, and we can partake of that if we'll only open up our eyes and see the good things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Amen. And praise the Lord. And I love, oh, God opened up her eyes. Suddenly she could see. And isn't it beautiful? People walk in this world, and unless the Lord opens up eyes, they're blind to the reality of God. They're blind to the condition of their soul. They can't see. And we're all like that. We're all in that place where we couldn't see, where we didn't know God, where we just estranged from God, and we had no hope in this world. But God opened up our eyes. Oh, he gave us spiritual eyes so that we might see and have a glimpse of the heavenly things that are beyond, that we might perceive that we had a Savior and we could bear our sins to him. We could bring our burdens to him. We could come unto him, and knowing that he would give us rest. Oh my, that we could take his yoke upon us, and we could find that rest, that everlasting rest, that rest of the Holy Ghost that the Lord gives for his children. Praise the Lord. So God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. You know, we can thirst and hunger after the Lord, and we can have as much of the Spirit of God as we want. Whenever we need more of God, we can go to him. We can say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty in my soul. We can cry unto God and know that he will hear us and that he'll fill that cup. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed. He's given us the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we can have as much of God as we are willing to receive. Praise the Lord. But it comes with effort. You just don't get there in a moment. You have to hunger. You have to thirst after righteousness. You have to want God more than anything else in this world. You have to want to do the things that please him and live according to his will. But God has a way for his people. He has a plan, and he has that living water for those that will embrace his promises and come unto him. And verse 20 here, it says, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. So here he is. God was with him, and he grew and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Praise the Lord. God was with him. And it's so amazing. You know, the name Ishmael means God hath heard. God heard the voice of the lad. When he cried, he heard that voice. If we go on to Genesis 25, there's a passage there that speaks of the generations of Ishmael. And just going to that for a moment, because there's just I want to go a little beyond this here and show you how God blessed Ishmael. In verse 12 here of chapter 25 of Genesis, "Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the son of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbel, and Bibsan, and Mishpah, and Duma, and Massah, Hadar and Tema, Jeter, Nephish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations." And it tells us in verse 17, "And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people." So here, the 12 princes are stated the sons of Ishmael. And I just want to go a little bit beyond this, because Nebajoth and Kedar are mentioned elsewhere in the scripture. And I think this is so exciting. God's promises to Ishmael were fulfilled. Let's look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 is a very exciting chapter. And of course, this was all fulfilled at the birth of Jesus Christ and as he was a young child. And here's these prophetic verses that tell how the Gentiles would come to thy light, speaking of Jesus Christ and kings to the brightness of thy rising there in the third verse there. And verse 4 says, "Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they that gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." And of course, this is prophetic, the time of Jesus Christ. The wise men came unto Herod, and you could consider them the forces of the Gentiles. It speaks there in verse 6. It says, "The multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." And we know that the wise men came, and it was not just three wise men, as tradition declares. It says a multitude of camels. There are a large amount of wise men that ascended upon Jerusalem. And no wonder Herod was a little bit afraid, because obviously they covered that territory. And here they were coming. They were coming to find the Christ child, to show forth the praises of the Lord. This is all prophetic. It tells how they would bring gold and incense, the coming of the wise men. And then there was another event. It says, "All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebajoth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." So not only did the wise men ascend upon Jerusalem, but at that time when Jesus was born, there were shepherds that came unto Jesus to worship. And I believe it says all the flocks of Kedar Kedar was a second son of Ishmael. And Naboth, which is Naboth, as we were reading there in Genesis, is the firstborn son of Ishmael. And here it says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Oh, I think this is so beautiful. It's speaking of the descendants of Ishmael coming to minister. And it says they shall come up with acceptance. They're not only going to be ministering, but they're going to be accepted. The Lord is going to accept them on his altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Of course, Luke, the second chapter, tells us of those shepherds that were in the field by night. We'd like to go there to the second chapter of Luke. And here it is, that glorious event that happened. And it was right after Jesus was born. Mary brought forth her firstborn son, it tells us in verse 7 of chapter 2 of Luke, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then it tells us in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And what an event. It says in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And who was witness of this? Those shepherds that were in the field watching their sheep there that night. Those are the people that heard, the angels of the Lord that heard this heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. I believe these were the flocks of Kedar gathered together, the rams of Naboth. And then it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. But here it is. Those shepherds were the one that heard the heavenly host praising, glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Oh, how beautiful it must have been. Oh, how amazing. But praise the Lord, were these the sons of Ishmael over many, many generations? The flocks of Kedar, the rams of Naboth coming to minister and finding acceptance upon mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Was that due to that cry of that young boy that was crying there in the wilderness, crying out to God? Let's also go to Isaiah 42. And here, this 42nd chapter of Isaiah also speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's just look at verse 6 here for a moment. It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. But here in verse 9 it says, behold, the former things are come to pass. They're over. And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. These were prophetic utterances declaring the things that God would bring forth. Prophetic things here, new things that the Lord would do, a new covenant that he would bring forth. Verse 10 says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. And it says, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. So here it is, those descendants of Ishmael, those in the villages of Kedar that we were reading of in Isaiah 60, it says, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. There was a reason to praise the Lord. The Savior came, and they were going to bear witness of that. It says, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Oh my, what a privilege there, those descendants of Ishmael, the sons of Kedar, the second son of Ishmael, were given this promise. And they were told to sing, to shout from the top of the mountains, to give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. And that's what happened. Those shepherds that were abiding in the field by night, watching their sheep, and the angel of the Lord came upon them. And then that heavenly host. Oh my, they were witnesses of the wonderful things of God. They were able to shout from the top of the mountains. They were able to find acceptance with the Lord on his altar. They were able to minister unto God. What a beautiful thing the Lord had provided for them. And we too, oh my, if we're children of the Lord, we have a right to shout and sing. God has put something within us that's greater than anything on earth, greater than any treasure here on earth. The Lord has put something in our hearts that's far, far, far deeper than anything that man could know at all. Let's just read it in the 12th chapter of Isaiah. Oh my, we have a right to praise the Lord. We have a need to praise the Lord. And it tells us in the first verse in that 12th chapter, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And praise the Lord. It says in verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh my, if we have found acceptance with God, we have something to cry out for. We have something to joy over. If the Lord Jehovah has become our strength and our song, we can draw water out of that well of salvation, that wonderful well of salvation. And no wonder. Remember that story in the 4th chapter of John, that Samaritan woman who was there at the well, and Jesus came to her, asked her for a drink. And, of course, he said to her, as she was so amazed, why a Jew would even speak to her. But Jesus began to tell her of the living water. In John, the fourth chapter, it tells us, verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus always amazed people, didn't he? He was always doing things that people didn't anticipate at all. But he was God. He knew the hearts of people, and he always had reasons for everything he did. And in verse 10 it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh my, she knew nothing of this. She said to him in verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She couldn't imagine what he was talking about. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Oh my, there is a water that needs to be replenished. But Jesus had another water to offer her. Verse 14, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman was so amazed. She said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And of course, Jesus got her attention. He said, go, call thy husband and come hither. And she said, in the 17th verse, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And she explained, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. But Jesus was speaking of another hour. He said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman recognized who he was. I truly believe, she said unto him in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. But Jesus had that living water to offer. That water that was not found in the wells of Jacob or in the other water that is found here on earth. That heavenly water, that spiritual water, that wonderful water that we can partake of. Of course, Jesus spoke of it himself. And there in the 7th chapter of John, it was the last day of that great feast, the 37th verse of John 7. Here's Jesus. He stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it explains, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, he has been glorified. He has ascended into the heavens. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, that living water came. That gift of the Holy Ghost came upon that 120 and all those that gave heed there on the day of Pentecost and repented and surrendered their life to the Lord and were baptized in the name of Jesus. receive the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. If they didn't receive it right then and there, they had that promise of the living water that would come unto them, that water that if you thirst, you would never thirst thereof. If you drink thereof, you would never thirst thereof. Of course, that was all prophesied. Isaiah 44 also tells us of that living water. Verse 1 of chapter 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Oh, praise the Lord. There it was in prophecy. The Lord had promised that living water, and it came to pass. And praise the Lord, we can be participants of it. We can be among those that find acceptance. But there is a cry that needs to go out from the heart, a cry, a desire, a thirst, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Just as God heard the voice of the lad Ishmael, God will hear the voice of those that cry out to him with all their heart. Those that prevail in prayer, God will hear. He will hear their supplications. He will hear their cries. He will give heed. He will give ear to those cries. Psalms 116 speaks of that cry that goes out. I believe David, the psalmist, well knew what it was like to cry out to the Lord, and he knew what it was like when the Lord inclined his ear unto him. Here he speaks of it here in Psalms 116. It reads, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Oh, praise the Lord, that cry that the Lord heard, that supplication that David was talking about. Supplication is a humble, earnest petition that is brought before the Lord. And just as God heard the cries of David, just as God heard the cries of Ishmael, he will hear the cries of those that cry out to him with all the heart, that want that living water, that want that spirit, that want the truth, that have that desperate need. Here in that 116th Psalm, there's a desperate need. There's a desperate need. The sorrows of death are overwhelming. David, at that point, he feels the pains of hell taking hold upon him. But there was a cry that came out of his heart, a cry that he uttered with all his being. And you know what? The Lord heard him. The Lord inclined his ear unto him. And it was heard. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord hears the cries of his people. In Luke 11, we also hear how we are able to bring our petitions before the Lord. If you look at Luke, the 11th chapter, looking at verse 9, And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh my, if we will cry out with all our heart, the Lord will hear that voice. The Lord will give heed. He hears those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He heard the voice of the lad there in the wilderness, and he gave heed. And my, there was a reward that came with it. The promises of God are sure. The promises that he gave to Ishmael come to pass. They came to pass. And likewise, God will also reward those that call upon him in this day and hour. Praise the Lord, we are bidden here. If we ask, it shall be given. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Praise the Lord, those living waters can be ours to be realized. God will hear the voice of his children crying out when they cry with all the heart that is given to him without regard of iniquity, with given over to the things that would save their souls, the things that God would bring about in their lives.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. That was a wonderful topic, sermon, teaching. Very good. Thank you for that. Because we all need that hope, don't we?
Yeah.
Get to that place of desperation. Cry out to the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Midst of our troubles. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I hope all those that are out there that were online and here got a lot out of that. There's a lot of hope to be found and had when you search your heart and you cry out to the Lord. He's there to hear you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
What? I was always interested in that story myself. It's always been a very intriguing one. How the Lord heard the cries of Ishmael and Hagar. Wow. So that's very encouraging. Why don't we just, if we could, in closing, I don't know, I guess just sing number 81. I can hear the wind outside blowing. And why don't we just sing it here? The wind is blowing again. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again.
Praise God. Be dismissed at the prayer meeting.